Chazor Zeichanish Bechazor Shachar Mesechem Nachas Daf Tzadik. Zok the Mishnah, all the dry measures in the Beis HaMikdash needed to be filled above the rim, except for the Kohen Gadol's measure, which held the measure within the rim. The liquid measures made Kodesh, even what's above the rim, where the dry measures do not. Rabbi Akiva says liquid measures are Kodesh, and therefore the liquid above the rim becomes Kodesh as well. The dry measures are not Kodesh, and therefore the solids above the rim are also not Kodesh. Rabbi Yehi said this is not the reason. Rather, it's because the liquid in the Keli moves from the bottom to the top as it's poured, so all of it has been within the confines of the Keli. This doesn't happen with solids that are poured into a Keli, and therefore it's only what's inside the Keli that's Kodesh. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah who holds that there was more than one measure that needed to be filled above the rim? It can't be our Meir because he says there was only one such measure. It can't be the Rabbanon because they hold that there was no such measures. And the Mar of Chizda said the Mishnah follows our Meir. And the Mishnah doesn't mean all measures, but rather that all measurements done in that one measure had to be done by filling it above the rim. Mishnah then said, Miles halach beirut sehen koidesh. What's the point of machlois between these three views? And remember, Tanakhama holds that liquid measures were anointed on the inside and the outside, which is why the amount above the rim becomes kodesh, where the solid measures were only anointed on the inside. Rabbi Akiva holds that the liquid measures were anointed on the inside and the outside, which is why the amount above the rim becomes kodesh, whereas the solid measures were not anointed at all, which is why even the flour inside the measures does not become kodesh. Rabbi Yossi holds that the liquid and solid measures were anointed inside but not outside. The reason they're treated differently is because the liquid in the keli moves from the bottom to the top as it's being poured, so the liquid above the rim was at one point within the confines of the keli, whereas the solid, by solids, this does not happen. Why do we care if it's used? If it used to be within the keli, the person only intends that the amount that he needs should be become kadosh. And so, why does the amount that anything more than that become kadosh? And Rav Dibin by Shinina in the name of Rav said, from here we see that a klisharis makes kadosh even without intent. Another territory, Ravina said, we can even say that a klisharis does not make kadosh without intent, and the extra liquid is only kadosh throughout bonan as a gzera. People shouldn't say that something that was once in a klisharis was that made into chulin. Frechti Gemara Reb Zeira asks, the Mishnah says that if the lechem aponim and levoina was not put on the shulchan until Sunday, because it's supposed to be done on Shabbos, then it should not be taken off that following Shabbos, rather it should be left on the shulchan until the second Shabbos passes. Now, according to Ravina, we should say that it should not be allowed to be left beyond the first Shabbos, as a gzera that people will say that something can be left in a klisharis past its proper time and not become possible. And for tomorrow, you can't ask for lechem aponim because that's something that's done in the heichal, which means people won't see this happen, and therefore there's no reason to be geyser. The Gemara continues. The Mishnah says that the excess of nesachim is used for voluntary kabbanos to be offered when the mizbech is sitting idle, sitting without kabbanos going on. What does it mean, excess nesachim? Rav Chiya Bar-Yosef said it refers to the amount over the rim of the measures. Rabbi Yechonon said this refers to what was taught that if Hegdish made a deal to buy flour at a certain price for the year, and the cost of flour then increased, Hegdish still buys the lower price. If the price decreased, Hegdish would pay the lower price or would receive extra flour. It's this extra flour that's being referred to as excess nesachim. There's a brice that says Rav Chiya Bar-Yosef's interpretation, and a brice that says Rabbi Yechonon's interpretation. Zok, the next Mishnah, all kabbanos of the tzibur and of an individual require nesachim except for the karban bechor, meister, pesach, chatas, and osham. The one exception to this is the chatas and osham of a mitzvah, which do require nesachim. Zok, the Gemara, brice says the pasuk of v'asisem isha la'ashem, written regarding the nesachim obligation, would seem to teach that any carbon that's offered on the mizbeach, even a carbon mincha, would require nesachim. The pasuk therefore says oila to limit it to an oila. How do we know to include a shlom in this obligation as well? The pasuk says zevach. How do we know to include a toida as well? The pasuk says oy zevach. We would think to even include a bechor ma'aseh pesach chatas nashom. The pasuk therefore said lifnei lefali neder oy nedava, which teaches that only something that can be donated requires a nesachim. I would think to therefore we'll also exclude the obligatory kabbalas of Yom Tov that are brought on Yom Tov, the Oyles Re'iyah, the Shalmei Chagigah. The pasuk therefore says, Oy b'moyadeichem, which teaches that anything that comes for the Yom Tov requires a nesachim. We would think to also include a goat kata since it's brought for on Yom Tov as well. The pasuk of V'chisase ben Bokar comes to teach that just like a ben Bokar is something that can be donated as a carbon, so too things that can be donated require nesachim. This excludes the chatas. The pasuk says, "La sois reach nichoyach l'Hashem min habakar oy min atzoyin." This teaches that a bird oil does not require nesachim. This is the view of Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonason says we already know that from the pasuk, from the fact that the pasuk says zevach and a bird is not a zevach. Rather, min habakar oy min atzoyin teaches that if someone promises to bring an oila, he does not need to bring an animal from the bakar and an animal from the tzoyin, which would be possibly implied by another pasuk, but rather it only has to bring one. Frech Gemara Rabbi Yonason holds it unless the pasuk specifically says the word yachtov, it means that the items are separate. So why do we need a pasuk to say that they're not together? Gemara, we would think that the vav of umin hatzoyin serves as if it had said Yachtov, Kamash Malon, that they can be they're brought separate. Refekim Rabbi Yeshi holds that even without saying Yachtov, we need a pasuk to teach that something is separate. If so, he should need a pasuk that only one animal is needed to fulfill a neder. And for tomorrow, one pasuk says Im Oyula Karbonoi Minaba Kor, another pasuk says Im Minatzoin Karbonoi. The fact that the Torah separates them into separate pesukim teaches that only one needs to be brought to fulfill an obligation. Rabbi Yonison would say that these pesukim may be talking about where the neder was made to specifically bring either bakar or a tzoin. However, if there was no such specification, we would think maybe that both have to be brought. That's why the pasuk regarding the sachem is needed to teach that even one animal suffices.